The question of what and how much Margaret Jameson knows about her father, old Ellsworth Jameson, city manager of Monroe, may be answered very soon for Betty and Bob. Yes, Chet Andrews went out with Margaret tonight, took her to dinner, and afterwards they went out for a walk in one of Monroe's beautiful parks. Now we find them sitting on a bench, looking out toward the dark lake where swans and ducks are floating through the cool water.
You know, Chet?
What?
Right now, I wish we were the only people in the whole world.
Well, that's a fine thought. How about your father, your friends?
Oh, I don't wish that they were dead. I just wish... I don't know why I wish it. I feel as if we were the only people in the whole world right now. You're troubled about something, Chet. You have been all evening.
No, I haven't.
You sure you feel well?
I feel wonderful.
Maybe you should have stayed in the hospital a couple of more days. That was a pretty terrible beating.
Yeah, a beating for which I'll get even.
That sounded mean.
I'll be plenty mean if I ever find out.
You sure you don't know who did it, Chet?
No, I've told you that.
But sometimes you act as if you did know.
I only wish I did.
The bump on your head gone all the way down?
All the way.
And your side doesn't hurt anymore?
Well, it's still black and blue, but it doesn't hurt. I tell you, I'm all right. I'm perfect.
Well, you don't have to tell me that.
Tell you what?
That you're perfect. I think you're wonderful.
Don't say that. It gives me goose flesh.
But you are wonderful.
How? What have I ever done?
You don't have to do anything. The fact that you are who you are and that I'm sitting here talking to you, being with you, don't you want to hold my hand?
Of course I want to.
Then why don't you? I've never been so happy.
Margaret.
Yes, Chet.
I have got something on my mind.
What is it?
It's about your father.
My father?
Yes, I got into an argument with a fellow in a restaurant today.
What about?
Wasn't any of my business, I suppose. He was at the next table and he was talking to somebody else, but I couldn't help overhearing him. It got me awful mad. Do you know what this fellow was saying, Margaret?
How could I?
He said your father... What am I telling you this for?
Please tell me.
I almost punched the guy in the nose.
Please tell me what he said.
Oh, why bother?
Please, Chet.
All right. This fellow said that Ellsworth Jameson is nothing but the stooge of a lot of corrupt political bosses. Oh, I know I don't know anything about this town, but just the same.
Is that what he said?
Yes. So I butted right in and said, look here, mister, before you go shooting your mouth off, you ought to have facts. The next thing I knew, we were at it thick and heavy, calling names and everything else. I made him back down, all right.
You made him back down?
Sure. I made him admit he couldn't prove what he was saying about your father. It was just a lot of gossip and hearsay. Oh, he caught plenty from me, saying your father was put into office by racketeers.
Chet,
and that... What?
Listen to those swans. They're making an awful lot of noise, aren't they?
Yes.
I wonder why they suddenly started to do that.
Oh, I guess something scared them.
What? Everything's so quiet.
Maybe they got into an argument for no reason at all, the way people do sometimes. Margaret, I was right getting mad at that fellow, wasn't I?
Of course you were.
I like your father very much, and for anybody to say something like that about him, why, well, I just saw red, that's all.
I want to go home.
What?
I want to go home.
Well, why all of a sudden like that?
I don't know why. Please take me.
Okay. I'm sorry if I've upset you.
You haven't upset me. What could you have said that...
Oh, Margaret! Margaret, where are you running? Margaret! Margaret!
And now, what of old Ellsworth Jameson himself? He has been told by Walter Humboldt that Chet is, in all likelihood, working for Betty and Bob Drake, trying to get damaging facts from Jameson's daughter. This bit of information has driven Jameson half out of his mind. This evening, Betty and Bob worked late at the Trumpet. When Betty found a few free moments, she left the Trumpet building to go to the corner drugstore. She did not see the figure of old Ellsworth Jameson across the street, waiting for her to come out and then following her into the drugstore, pretending that their meeting was an accident.
Why, Mrs. Drake.
Why, Mr. Jameson.
Seems that the same things brought us here. The hot weather. I'll have the same drink Mrs. Drake is having, boy.
It is hot, isn't it?
Yes, Mrs. Drake. If this spell keeps up and I keep on losing weight, I'm pretty thin as it is. Why, I'll just disappear.
But you've still got a long ways to go.
Don't tell me that you've been working this late.
Yes, I have. I don't usually, but this happens to be one of those nights.
Well, I've been working pretty late myself. After being locked up in that office all day over in the City Hall, I thought I'd walk home, and that's how I happened to be passing this way. You know, I enjoyed our little chat the other day very much.
So did I, Mr. Jameson.
I hope I didn't bore you too much with the details of my daughter's romance.
No, indeed. I thought they were fascinating.
Chet Andrews and my daughter, they're a perfect pair.
Are they?
I never saw two people go so well together. They look right together. They sound right together. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. People have very often said that of Bob and me.
Oh, of course, of course. You can see that at first glance, you and Bob. Yes, but with these two... Well, I hate to say things like this, but... They were really born for each other. Oh, by the way, I spoke to Margaret about you and your husband coming over for dinner some night. She said she'd get in touch with you and arrange it.
Why, any time at all would suit us, Mr. Jameson.
Well, I suppose it's really a matter of what time she wants to give up being alone with Chet. This whole thing happened so swiftly, it sort of swept me off my feet. You'd think I was the bride. Margaret will make a beautiful bride. Don't you think so, Mrs. Drake?
Yes, lovely.
I always used to think she'd never have a fellow, let alone be a bride. But now, I wonder when he's going to pop the big question.
You better take your drink, Mr. Jameson, before the ice melts.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Well, that hit the right spot. It's the right spot. As I was saying, I... What was I saying?
You were wondering when Chet was going to pop the big question.
Oh, yes, yes. And that is a big question for me, too. You know, I think people ought to know each other pretty well before they get married. But I don't believe in long engagements. Engagements. They're not even engaged. I bet they never even thought of that. But then you don't have to be engaged to get married.
No, you can skip that sometimes.
Yes, yes. I wouldn't mind if, well, even if they didn't have a regular wedding.
You wouldn't?
No, no. It'd do my heart good if we could have a regular church wedding and all that and make a big fuss about it, but I don't care. If they just came home one night and said, "Dad, we just got married," and that was all there was to it, I'd like that fine. I wouldn't have a complaint in the world about it. If it was just as simple as that, the fact that they got married, that'd be enough for me. This really is a fine drink.
I think I'd better be getting back to the office. Bob will be wondering what's happened to me.
And I better be getting on back home. Chet and Margaret went out for the evening, but they might be back by now, and, well, wouldn't it be wonderful...
Wouldn't what be wonderful?
If what I was just talking about happened, if I came home and they met me at the door and said, "Hello, Dad, we're married," that'd be wonderful. But if it doesn't happen tonight, maybe it'll happen tomorrow or some other night. I've patience. I know that it's going to happen. That much I'm sure of. It must happen. Nothing can stop it. I think that... Oh, please, Mrs. Drake, I beg of you, let me take the check.
It's easy to see that Jameson's fears for his daughter's happiness are slowly building up in a wild obsession. If he discovers the truth about Chet and his connection with Betty and Bob... What violence may he not commit in vengeance for the misery that will be brought his daughter?